Today on Rocking the Suburbs,
it's Hassle the Podcaster Day.
Hello, everybody. Top of your Tuesday to you. This is the Rocking the Suburbs podcast. My name is Patrick Foster, and you are listening to us. And it is day two of What Was First Week. Bop, 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 bop. I don't know if we need theme music, but if anybody out there wants to write an early version of the theme music, we'll release it on SuburbsPod001. What was first? Hope everyone is doing well. And again, I want to thank all those who got in touch to give suggestions and feedback on this series. And I'm so glad everybody's enjoying these bite-sized history lessons. Today, we're going to do a What Was First on Rhino Records. Yeah. Rhino Records, folks. Really good idea. And I want to thank Peter Nordgren in beautiful Cornucopia, Wisconsin, for writing into rock@suburbspod.com and letting us know that he thought this would be a good idea. Hope you're doing well there, Peter, in beautiful Cornucopia, Wisconsin. It's got to be beautiful in the springtime. Man, Cornucopia in May. Yeah, it must be gorgeous. It's over 50, right? Or maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, thanks, Peter. Hope you're doing well. Glad you're still out there fighting the good fight in Cornucopia. So, all right, let's dig into Rhino Records. This is a really interesting story. And like others that we talked about, Rough Trade being one that jumps to mind, Rhino Records started as a record store. And it's the record store itself began in 1973 in Westwood, which was the neighborhood right, I guess, just a couple blocks down the street from UCLA in West Los Angeles. And obviously, you got to have a good record store in a college town, right? So that made a lot of sense. And the store was founded by a guy named Richard Foos, a UCLA student who got his start in record retailing by doing it the old-fashioned way. He would buy up used records at places, and then he would rent a table at a flea market, or he would sell them out of the trunk of his car, apparently. And at one point, he had some record bins in the back of an electronics store that he would sell records out of. And during all this record retailing activity there in the 70s, he met a man named Harold Bronson, who was a Columbia Records sales representative. And the two became friends, Bronson and Foos. Richard Foos took the next step and actually opened a brick-and-mortar Rhino location in October of 1973. And before too long, Bronson was working at the store as an employee, kind of the co-person there, the main two guys. And I don't know if they had official titles, but they did pretty well there in the store, selling old records, stuff you couldn't find, reissues, out of the way, unusual things. And both those guys were huge record hounds back in the 70s. And that was one of the things that led to Rhino being a really interesting store. Bronson, of course, having some experience working at a record company, knew a thing or two about promotion, and he began to implement some customer attraction events exhibiting the slightly offbeat Rhino Fair, as one website put it. And they had events apparently such as Polka Day, Redneck Day, and Hassle the Salesman Day. I'm not exactly sure how that worked. He went in and gave the record clerk a bunch of crap. The employees were fans of a street musician in the LA area named Larry Wildman Fisher, a songwriter who could churn out just about any song you wanted on demand. I think the legend was he would write songs for quarter or something like that, 50 cents. You name him a topic and a song title or something like that, and he would churn one out for you. As it happened, Bronson and Foos hatched an idea that in 1975, they would Wildman Fisher to record a record, and they would give it away for free in the store as a promotion. And, of course, if you're going to have a record, what are you going to call it? It was called Go to Rhino Records. And interesting about Wildman Fisher, he was a street singer and had actually put out a record on Frank Zappa's Bizarre label in 1968. Zappa, as you might imagine, was attracted to those kind of personalities. And he had a name, he had a reputation. And that was the story, folks. That's how the first Rhino Records release came to be in the world. And it's an interesting story because you know, Foos and Bronson just thought, hey, this is a lark. This is a joke. I'm not even sure. You know, they pressed maybe 200 copies, something like that. And, you know, we're just giving them away in the store. And before you knew it, local radio stations started to pick up on the record, started to play it. And if the source of all human knowledge is to be believed, an order came in for 500 copies of the record from England. And that was kind of the moment when they went, okay, now, you know, we got something here. We may have made the right first step in going down this record release path. And why don't we dig it out here, folks, and we're going to hear the very first release on Rhino Records. It carried the catalog RNOP001. It was a 7-inch 45 RPM single issued on the Rhino label in 1975. It's Wild Man Fisher doing Go to Rhino Records.
Go to Rhino Records on Westwood Boulevard. Go to Rhino Records on Westwood Boulevard. They have nice people there. They'll show you where the records are. Where are the records? They're over there. They're all over the place. Go to Rhino Records on Westwood Boulevard. Go to Rhino Records on Westwood Boulevard. You can get Herb Albert and Jackie Lomax for 40 cents. Da-doom, da-doom,
da-doom. So there it is, folks. Go to Rhino Records on Westwood Boulevard. A little more Daniel Johnson maybe than Moondog, but certainly that outsider kind of homemade flair to that song. It's got a certain off-key, off-kilter charm, obviously. And if you watch a documentary about Wild Man Fisher, there's one out there. I believe it came out in sometime in the 2000s, the first decade of that year. It details the fact that Larry Wild Man Fisher suffered from paranoid schizophrenia and some other mental illnesses, was homeless most of his life, but also was able to channel his art into something pretty neat and pretty special. And Rhino ended up releasing a couple more albums, probably his most well-known, other than the 68 release on Zappa's Bazaar, is a record called Wild Mania. They also put out one called Produce Normal in 1981 and one called Nothing Scary in 1983. The latter two were produced by the comedy music duo Barnes & Barnes. And here it is. The documentary is called Derailroaded, Inside the Mind of Wild Man Fisher, and it premiered at South by Southwest in 2005. So maybe available to stream out there for you folks. But, of course, no record is complete without a B-side. And the B-side of this release, Rhino RNOP001, is not by Wild Man Fisher, but by something called the Plastic Rhino Band. And the song is Rhino, the Place to Go. And it songwriting credits here are Branson and Foo. So definitely looks like it was something that the founders cooked up to put on the B-side. And guess what, folks? We have that, too. And we will play out with that today on this version of what was first. But, of course, let's talk about Rhino Records for just a minute. I mean, what Branson and Foos really hit on after starting the label was they wanted to put out records that they wanted to hear but didn't exist. And a lot of times this was reissues where it was compilations of bands that had put out a whole bunch of singles. They wanted them all put together in a nice package, you know, maybe in a chronological order. And they began to sort of work to fill that niche of reissues. And of course, as the company went on, they had success with things like the Billboard compilations, right, where they went by and took a year of Billboard hits and put them out. They had some fabulous packages of comedy records too. Dr. Demento was an early associate of those guys, and he would curate these odd records. One of my favorite Rhinos is The World's Worst Records, which I do believe is curated by Dr. Demento. And the original copies actually came with a barf bag so you could throw up. when you were listening to it. And they parlayed all this into a company that continued to grow and eventually, you know, put out new records and began to grow. They got into video. They continued to do that. And so now when you go to look at Rhino Records, you don't go to Rhino Records. You go to Rhino Entertainment, Rhino Entertainment Company. And eventually they were completely purchased by Warner Brothers Records. I think Warner Brothers bought half stake in Rhino at one point and then bought another stake. And as I understand it, Foos and Bronson also, you know, have continued to get into this vein. They are involved with a record and film project called Shout Factory, which you may know. It's a streaming TV channel, too. They put out a lot of, you know, movie and film equivalent of what the early Rhino releases were, the reissues, and still to this day going strong. And when you look at the list, it doesn't seem to be an artist that somehow Rhino didn't have a hand in. And interestingly, I also found one interesting note in the Rhino story was that in 1981, there was a song called At This Moment by Billy Vera and the Beaters. And that song ended up becoming a number one hit in 1986 after it was featured in the TV show Family Ties with Michael J. Fox. And eventually signed a deal with New World Pictures to set up Rhino Films. And gosh, they just did all kinds of stuff. They were working with Capitol at one time, and like I said, Warner Brothers Records. So it's gone on to become an iconic American record label. And one of the things I love is the Rhino Handmade series. Go out and look at some of the releases on that project, and they're pretty amazing. And I do want to say one more thing. The last thing is this single. You can find it if you want to pick it up. It's very affordable on Discogs. You can find one for, you know, about $5, and there's a few out there for sale. Be a nice item to have in your catalog. The record label's just plain yellow with the big hole, but it's got that distinctive Rhino logo, where it's a rhino, sort of like with the Elvis look. He's in a leather jacket there, and he's got a record spinning on his horn. He's got a nice what do they call those grease hairstyles that the Fonz used to wear with the ducktail and all that. But it's pretty great. Pretty great logo. And I love it. If you got a horn, you might as well spin a record on top of it. Pretty great. So there it is, folks. That is the story of what was first on Rhino Records. How about that? Wild Man Fisher and a record called Go to Rhino Records. And I want to thank, once again, Peter Norgren for suggesting that idea. We've got some more this week coming up. Mark Neese sent in a very rich and juicy list of suggestions for what was first. So we're going to dig into a couple of those coming up here in the next couple of days. It should be a lot of fun. So I hope you enjoyed this. My name is Patrick Foster. As I said, you're listening to a podcast called Rock in the Suburbs. You can find us all over the social medias at Suburbs Pod. You can find us on the emails at rock@suburbspod.com, and you can always stick your head out the window and yell, and eventually somebody will come and see what you need. Right now, as I said, we're gonna play out this episode with the Plastic Rhino Band doing Rhino, The Place to Go. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Rhino, hey! The place to go! Rhino, hey! The place to go! Rhino, hey! The place to go! Rhino, hey! The place to go!
Couldn't take the risk. Went to Field of Zad, but the selection there was bad.
Rhino Records, 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 Records,
Records, Records, Records, Records, Records, Records, Records, Records, Records, Records, Records, Records, went to Record Shack, but I keep coming back to
Rhino Records. It's Becca. Here Rhino Records. Rhino Records. It's Becca. Here Rhino Records. Rhino has such groovy guys.
apologize for a few cents they let you slide.
Went to Manny Aaron. He wasn't caring.
You're listening to a podcast